Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, which can be found on pages 161 and 162 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's this saying, don't preach a sermon that you don't need to hear. So today I am preaching a sermon that I need to hear. As I struggled to get ready for this sermon series, I found myself confronted with my sin, my dereliction of duty sometimes as one of your pastors, and a consistent review of my behaviors and actions, and I'm not proud of my past. So I've not done anything that is categorically disqualifying. There are sinful actions and thoughts that I embarrass to confess to God, so much so that I don't confess them, as if God doesn't already know. It is like I don't want to talk about it, or don't think it. If I don't think about it, it didn't happen. But it happened. So there's a difference between speaking the truth in love when someone is ready to hear it, and otherwise, and I'm allowing God to speak the truth in love to me. So you are my congregation that I serve and not my therapist or confessor, so I will continue to make peace with my God, but I do not want to be offering to lead us in a conversation around habits and pretending that I have it all figured out. I don't want to pretend that my habits haven't negatively impacted myself, some of you, my friends, my family, and the world around me. So that's my confession, and here's my pledge: to continue to work on myself so that I am making progress, so that I am pursuing excellence, but not letting perfection be the goal. I remember a former senior pastor of mine once saying, "It seems like you are playing church." I was really upset when he said this, but I realized part of the reason why I was upset is that there was truth in what he had to say. We had been pretending that everything was okay, and many things were good, and that's not to say that the good is canceled by the bad, but we needed to stop pretending that everything was okay. Justifications only last for so long before they break down, right? And that's what I'm learning. Where my life breaks down, it's where my habits are weak. It isn't so much that when I live intentionally that I have problems, or for most of us, but it's when I have less than healthy habits that the problems occur. All right? So habits, huh? We all have habits. If we change our habits, we can change our lives, we can change the world. Now, God wants us to grow and change in our habits, and that's part of what our daily, ordinary lives are made up about. There was a study done by Duke University in 2006 that over 40% of our daily actions are governed by habits. So if you put that into context, almost reaching half, perhaps, of any given day, half of your actions, 40 to 50%, could be construed as being a part of your habits. So taking a look at our habits and making a better understanding of what constitutes that much of our life is part of what God perhaps wants us to do. Because God wants us to bring our whole selves, our true selves, into what we do in the world. So to get us all on the same page, I want to ask for a moment to use a definition of habits that comes from a book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. A book that I should have read and finished before this sermon series, but I didn't because of bad habits. So he defines habits as choices that all of us deliberately make at some point and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. I'll read that again. Choices, habits are choices that all of us deliberately make at some point and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. So he goes on to add that if we deliberately make the choice at one point, then that means that we continue to make them, then the behavior becomes automatic. And that's what a habit is. It's sort of an automatic set of behaviors or actions that we continue to do without thinking. They are built on, like I mentioned, and he writes, that they're built on this premise that we can make that choice at one point, but then we continue to do it in a way that just becomes automatic. So if you've ever thought to yourself, you know, or done something, then you realized, wait, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I have that thought? That's not what I want. That's not who I am. That's a habit. Now, it's positive too, right? Sometimes we do things automatically that are good for ourselves and good for ourselves and good for others around us. There are people who have the power of habit around exercise. That is impressive. There are people that have other habits that you look at them and go, man, how do you do that? And we're going to explore just what that means for us, because if we can understand our habits better, we can unpack for ourselves a better life that God wants for us. So a lot of what we are, as we mentioned, is rooted in our habits and rooted in our expectations of how we're going to act because of our automatic behaviors. Now, as much as clearly I've been thinking about habits and I've been inspired by some others and some of you, the reality is God does care about our habits. God cares about our habits, and that's something that comes to us in the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. Now, Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. We heard a little bit of it before. And it's a letter that Paul wrote to the people that lived in Rome at the time that he was living in the first century. Now, Paul is someone who knows something about habits. He is someone who knows something about habits, and the people that he was writing to knew something about habits too. Now, just to refresh ourselves on who this Paul is the one who was formerly known as Saul, and he had some amazing habits. He was actually, one might say, the king of habits. Now, formerly, when he was known as Saul, he was a Pharisee, one of the Jewish leaders of the day, and he was considered the best of the best of the best Pharisees. And what that means is that he had the law on lockdown, so that he had great habits when it came to being a Jewish leader. And he never had to worry about whether he was going to follow through on the law, because it was his habits. But as we know, he didn't stay as Saul. He had his habits changed dramatically, and he became Paul. And the way that his habits changed is that he had an encounter with the risen Jesus. That's the story we get in the book of Acts. And we find that he goes from being Saul, who had habits that were religiously good and some that were bad for Christians. He was going out there persecuting Christians, trying to kill them because they were disrupting the status quo and potentially putting them all in danger. And the reality is that after he was confronted with Jesus, he had to change. He had to find a new way of living because of who Jesus was in his life. He was confronted by the beauty of the world and the life that God wants for him through Jesus. And so he became Paul. And then Paul would go on to be a prolific leader in the early church. He would then write this letter to this group of people in Rome that he had not met before, but he had intentions to go visit. He had been planting churches throughout all the known world around the Mediterranean Sea. And so what he wrote to these people in Rome is something that helps us, because I think it drives right after this problem that we have with habits. And again, this is a group of people that would have known habits, because who was he writing to? Is this early church in Rome that was made up of two groups of people. They were coming together to become one, but they felt distinct in some ways. There was one group that were Jewish believing people who thought that Jesus was the Messiah. And until recently, they had been Jews, just Jews. And what that meant is that they had Jewish habits that they had to then examine in light of who Jesus was in their life, and habits that they needed to then change, perhaps, in order to live out the reality of Jesus being the Messiah in their life. But there was also a group of people that were a part of this church that were the Romans, the people that lived in Rome. Now, not everybody was a Roman citizen, but they certainly all lived there. And these were the Gentiles. Now, as they were coming to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior, that means that they were distancing themselves from the Roman religion that was around them, that they would have been a part of. Whether it was in a private part of their home, whether it was in the temple cult that they might have been a part of, they had patterns and habits of what it meant to be religious by their definition. And so they had to put those on hold and find new ones. Now, to come up with a way to best understand this or better understand it, you know, you got to imagine that for both, whether they were a Jew that were believing as Jesus the Messiah or a Gentile, the Romans, that believed that Jesus was then the Savior, it would have been like switching teams. And so for us, some of us, it would be like if you went from loving classical music to only loving rap music, right? Whole different world, whole different group of people. Or if you went from understanding that you were a Bears fan, right, to becoming a Packers fan, that would be something that would be a dramatic change in life. I have down here, you know, it would be like going from being a Cubs to a White Sox fan, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? Or whatever direction that one floats for you. But a whole new history, right? A whole new way of living, perhaps. A whole new way of understanding who God is and what God wants for you. That's what it was like for them to switch. That's what it was like for them to find themselves understanding that their habits weren't going to get them where they wanted to go. And so they put themselves under the leadership and lordship of Jesus Christ, and they examined who they were and who are they becoming. And Paul speaks to them in one way or another about habits. Now, in the book of Romans, this letter, Paul writes about a million different things, it feels like, and you could spend years upon years preaching on this text, and I'm happy to announce for the next decade, we're going to be preaching through Romans. Just kidding. But he does drive home the importance of what it means to put our habits out there and to be honest about where we need to grow. Specifically in the 12th chapter of Romans, and you heard it in the NRSV, which is what is in the Pew Bibles, that translation. But I'm struck by the simplicity and the directness of how it is written up in the Message, which is a more modern yet translation of what he drives after in this. The way this goes is in chapter 12, it begins with a therefore. Anytime you see a therefore in the New Testament, and perhaps in the Old Testament mostly as well, you can look to the preceding chapters or sentiment and understand what the therefore is then referring to. In this particular case, Paul is kind of like clearing his throat and saying, okay, so we got chapters 1 through 11, and now here comes chapter 12, 13, 14, 15. So therefore, this is what we're going to do. And here's what he says. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I read that, I hear that, I share that, and I think habits. Paul is driving after what it looks like in the daily life, their everyday life, of what it means to take and apply what God has done through Christ into our daily lives. He wants us to be mindful of our daily, our ordinary lives, our sleeping, our eating, our going to work, our walking around. God cares about our spiritual life too, and it's a false dichotomy to separate them out, but we got to understand that we can only pay attention to so many things at one time, right? Paul is worried about the mundane, the daily, because it's that in which way God wants us to see change. God wants us to change in our lives so that God can help us change our lives and can change the world. So what does Paul offer for us there as that driving concern? What's the problem that he's identifying? It's interesting, and we can talk about this at another time. He teaches elsewhere, especially in 1 Corinthians, about there's a range of things that are permissible and beneficial, right? There's a sense of which is true that things are on a sliding scale in terms of our wellness and being and life. But what he's also talking about is really don't become so well adjusted to the world, to the culture, that you fit in without even thinking. Because for most of us, and I'll speak for myself here, most of my problems and most of my sin doesn't come from when I'm being intentionally evil. That sounds a little weird, but it doesn't come from when I'm being intentionally sinful. It becomes when I'm being automatically, unintentionally sinful. It becomes when I become so well adjusted and I listen to voices that tell me this is okay or this is not okay, or just because some person's acting this way, I can act that way. I get permission from the world, the culture around me that says I can act that way. Now, there's a lot of permission to act that way, right? All you got to do is flip on the news, look through the newspaper, flip through your feed, whatever it is. And there's a lot of permission to what? Live an immature life. But what does God want? God wants to find well-formed maturity within all of us. Jesus talks about being childlike, not childish. Being childlike is to trust God. Being childish is to be immature. And so we are instructed by Paul here to pursue a dedication of ourselves to God so that our daily lives, our everyday lives, our ordinary lives, can be a holy and pleasing sacrifice to God. So if God can inspire Paul to change his habits, then God can inspire us to change our habits, right? And if God could change and inspire first century Romans and a church there and first century Jews to become one people, if God could inspire a little tribe of Israelites to become part of the church that would change the world, then God can inspire us too. So when it comes to how important it is to change your habits, I can personally attest to how important it is to really change our habits. I'm going to share with you a little bit of one of my habits that I struggle with, and that is ones around wellness and weight loss. Now, some of you have noticed and paid attention and have made comments, and that's okay because it's observable. Body weight management is something that I struggle with. And the reason that I struggle with it is because I don't have good habits around this. And I've been trying a new way. It's this crazy thing, like working out and eating less. Oh my goodness, who knew? Every doctor ever knew, but that doesn't matter, right? Instead of cheating. I've cheated on this journey a couple times before. Twice with Weight Watchers, I had great success. Twice with Nutrisystem, great success. Right before I became the pastor here, had just finished losing a lot of weight. And what had I done? Gained almost all of it back. I'm just speaking the truth that's observable. You know, I've got this new suit. Why do I have a new suit? Because the old one didn't fit anymore, right? If we can't be truthful here, where can we be truthful? So here's what I've done is with the encouragement of important people in my life and support and recognizing that I can only go as far as I can take myself, and in some ways we will only go as far as the leadership can take us, and I'm a part of what that means. There's a pastor, Andy Stanley, I've mentioned him before. He says that the greatest leadership challenge we face every day is the one in the mirror. I took a long look in the mirror, motivated by a lot of different things, some pure, some selfish, but trying to get them all in line, and said, what do I need to do differently? I remember Scotty, who's here today, he said, no one loses 20 pounds by eating cheeseburgers and french fries every day. He went and ran a marathon. Good for Scotty. That's amazing. I wasn't eating cheeseburgers and french fries every day, but way more often than I care to admit. So I've considered my habits. I'm replacing them as I can so that I can be the healthiest and best person, pastor, and father. So the temptation today is to greet me after the service or sometime and to tell me, good job, we love you, you know, and you can do those things if you want, but here's what I really want. Here's what I really hope is that when you leave today, you'll find one of these postcards. The ushers will hand them out to you. And what it says on there is habits. Change your habits, change your life, change your world. And it has that Romans 12, 1 through 2 written on there. And I want to challenge you to take 1, 2, 3, or as many as you might need, and take them home and put them in a place, put them in your car, wherever it might be. You know, one of the most unholy places in the world is the grocery parking lot, right? Or the mall parking lot. How many prayers have we said that we shouldn't have said there, huh? Take these and put them where you need to see them. I'm going to have a couple hanging up in my house, a couple hanging up in my office. And put them in a place where you need to see them to be reminded of how God wants you to change. And then once you take one of these or two, whatever it might be, then consider your habits. Talk to someone about your habits. Find someone who can be honest with you, that they can reflect back to you how you're really acting. Some of us have enough self-awareness to do this on our own. You can journal, you can write it out. Some of us need to talk it out, whatever it might be. But consider your habits and ask. So that's what I hope we can do today. And then I hope you can come back next week.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.